good year to need a wide receiver. While older, Adams looks like he's a little bit more willing to buy into the plan, if you know what I mean. Metcalf has had his moments up there where at times you wonder if he's on the same page as everybody else. If you're the Commanders, what was the rush when you could have just hung out for a few minutes and all of this has been unfolding? I think if you're Washington right now, you've got to have buyer's remorse on that Samuel deal.
It's time for our weekly visit with the Hall of Famer, John McClain. Right now on Unnecessary Roughness with your boy Q.
As we kick off hour number two of the show, we come into the sounds of my tag team partner, Joe Fortenbaugh from Joe and Q on ESPN Radio, talking about the fact that DK Metcalf is asking for a trade from Seattle. We know that Davante Adams is out there available as a wide receiver, and the Washington Commanders already went and made a move for Deebo Samuel, trading to get him away from the San Francisco 49ers. His point is, if they had just stood pat a little bit longer, they would have their options of many different wide receivers as opposed to one that he believes is broke down in Deebo Samuel. But we bring in our guy, John McClain, who's been covering the NFL for a very long time, as we do each and every week, normally on Tuesday, but we had to push back because of technical difficulties. So, John, thanks so much for being flexible and joining us today. We do appreciate you. What do you think about Deebo Samuel to the Washington Commanders? What did you think about that move when they made that trade?
He had worn out his welcome with the 49ers. He hadn't done squat in the last 2 years, but they liked him. One of the complaints is he was overweight, and he said it was because he was playing running back as well as wide receiver. Now he's got, I think, 1 year left on his contract. They got him for a fifth-round pick. They got him for a five. They could have got a four, but then you would have had to pick up a big portion of the contract. They didn't want to do that, so they accepted the five. It was obvious they just wanted to get what they could get to get rid of him. And as far as DK Metcalf wanting to be traded, doesn't matter, mean he will be traded. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine with Tyler Lockett being cut there after 10 years, they're going to trade Metcalf. And that's two of their three starting receivers. It makes no sense. And I don't, even though Metcalf's still young, I can't see anybody giving them a one or a two for him because there's so many receivers out there. You get a lot of old receivers. You know, if you're interested in an old receiver like Adams, he's 32. He's played only 14 games the last 2 years. You remember what happened to him with the Raiders? Mm-hmm. Was he hurt? Was he not hurt? You know, it looked like he quit on his team, but and last year, he had 67 catches, 854 yards, and 7 touchdowns. And if you're going to take a receiver that's 32 when the season begins, he better be the link to either making the playoffs or getting to the Super Bowl. You know, Cooper Kupp turns 32 in June. Lockett's 33 in September. Stephon Diggs is 31. He doesn't turn 32 to December, so there's a lot of older receivers out there. I have to keep an eye on them because the Texans, they need receivers. Tank Dell won't play next year. We've known that since he had his injuries, and just finally getting around to having his ACL surgery after having surgery on the other parts that were injured. And I like Diggs. He's been healthy his whole career. He tore his ACL non-contact in a game at NRG Stadium. He was on a pace for 100 catches, over 1,000 yards, and 8 touchdowns. He's younger. He was not an issue in any manner. That's why I think the Texans should do everything they can to bring Diggs back. But there's a lot of teams that need receivers, like there's a lot of teams that need quarterbacks.
John McClain is with us here on Raider Nation Radio 920 Unnecessary Roughness. What did you think about the Chicago Bears the last 2 days? They've traded to upgrade their offensive line, give Caleb Williams a little bit more production or protection.
Well, first of all, Q, you know when teams get rid of players, there's a reason for it. Mm-hmm. And it's like Minnesota. Minnesota did not want Sam Darnold to be their starting quarterback. If they did, they would have franchised him. They would be trying to sign him to a multi-year deal. But they're going to go with an unproven rookie over a guy who won 14 games last year. Why is that? You have to ask why these teams are doing it. The head coach to me is not to trade with the Rams for the guard. He was okay last year. Joe Tooney, I can't figure this one out. Chiefs need offensive linemen. their pass protection, as you saw, killed them, cost them a Super Bowl and all what most of us believe. And then they get rid of their best offensive lineman, who had a great year at guard and a good regular season at tackle, which he'd never played. And then he got exposed in the Super Bowl. But they don't make a lot of mistakes. And, yeah, I know he's 32 years old, but he was under contract. And to me, that's the deal looking ahead beyond next season. And I don't know why Andy Reid be looking beyond next season, because they're going to be Super Bowl contender next season. But they, when you got Reid and Patrick Mahomes, you can cover up a lot of stuff. But they're going to have a lot of maneuvering to do to rebuild their offensive line.
Yeah, there is a lot of work that they've got to do. There's no doubt. And I don't know if they're going to do it in the draft, the free agency, a combination of the both. They've got a lot of work to do along that offensive line. Well, today we found out here locally, Max Crosby signs a 3-year contract extension, which basically has him through contract for 5 years with the Raiders. And he's the first edge rusher, not T.J. Watt, not Myles Garrett, not Micah Parsons, not Trey Hendrickson, to sign a deal. How smart was that for the Raiders to get it done first, so they don't have to end up paying more money throughout the course of the summer?
I always harken back to a commercial, TV commercial in the 90s. It's for a thing called Fram oil filters. And the catchphrase was, you can pay me now or you can pay me later. And it's always meaning it's always cheaper now.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was very smart for Fitek to get that deal done. You know, he's worth it. He's done everything the Raiders could have wanted to do. Now he's got to be fired up about having Pete Carroll's his head coach, Tom Brady taking such a serious role in the front office. Fitek coming from the Buccaneers, where they had become a perennial winner. If you're a Raiders fan, things are looking up, and that was a good one. You know, that's great for the fans. It's great for the media. Of course, it's great for the team, but they're still spinning those wheels till they get the quarterback.
Yep, got to get the quarterback. And obviously, John, that's a big conversation piece that we have around here on the daily. And, you know, that leads me to the scouting combine. I was there in Indianapolis last week, and everything we've heard this week is, one, Shedeur Sanders came off arrogant and brash. What did you think about those reports that came out of the combine about Shedeur?
I only saw that one place. Quarterback coach said that. And I'll say this, and I hope I can say this on your air. This is my 49th year in covering the NFL, and I know I'm in the minority. I understand you have to use anonymous quotes for news stories, but when you don't have the guts, the courage, or the balls to put your name on something where you're ripping a kid like that, and when you know it's going to be anonymous, you can say anything you want. And everything I saw, people love dealing with Shedeur Sanders. That was one person's opinion. Who gives a rat's ass about somebody like that? Somebody that would kill a kid like that anonymously, I would be more inclined to wonder about his character than I would Shedeur Sanders. I watched Sanders play a bunch at Colorado these last 2 years, and I liked him. I didn't like the way he's waving his Rolex to fans and things like that. But a lot of that was his daddy. He's not going to do that in the NFL. He's a leader. He's accurate. People say, well, Cam Ward is separated from Shedeur Sanders. Well, how? What's he done? Has he worked out? Has he gone to Senior Bowl? Has he thrown at the combine? How does a guy separate himself when he's not throwing the football? So anybody that claims they know what they're doing in the draft right now is lying, because they don't. Titans have no clue what they're going to do. And we got pro days. We got private workouts. Shedeur Sanders is like, when he's a 30 visit, I'm guessing, to the Raiders, and he comes there. They take him to the facility and they introduce him around to people in the office. They're going to watch how he treats everybody. If he's going through the cafeteria line, they're going to watch to see how he treats the people who are serving him food. And he's a smart guy. His daddy's a smart guy. And I think he will impress everybody, and I feel bad for him. But a lot of the people who are negative toward him is because they don't like his daddy. And I think every team in the league understands that. And I'd love to see him drop to the Raiders and the Raiders get him. I don't think he will. I think Tennessee will take Cam Ward, one of the teams right after. Either Cleveland or the Giants will take him. Now, the landing spot for Sam Darnold is different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're the Raiders and you sign Sam Darnold, and I keep hearing people writing and saying that he'll get like a Baker Mayfield deal, 3 years for $100 million. Give me a break. Baker Mayfield had one really good season with the Bucs when he signed that, and he didn't want to leave. Darnold has multiple teams desperate for a quarterback, and he won 14 games last year. He's going to make so much more money than people think he is. And if you get him, if you're one of those top teams, and say the Titans paid the most money, then they could trade down a couple of spots or somebody get Ward or Sanders and get draft choices. Just all kinds of options.
Yeah, there is. There's a lot of options out there. Well, really well said as well about Shador, especially the reports coming out, or the report that came out of the scouting combine. We've had some spirited conversations about that here on Raider Nation Radio 920 as well, and got John McClain with us here as we do each and every week. John, when it comes to the draft, I mean, right now I've been calling it lion season. What is there that we should actually really truly believe?
Nothing. You know, most people are smart. They say, well, we could. You know, we're looking at all possibilities. Like the Titans, you can believe what they're saying. They're saying they're looking at all possibilities. That would be trades. That'd be a quarterback, a position player. And that's what they're doing. So much of what happens in the draft is dictated by what happens with free agency. You know, Monday, when you can start negotiations, that's when all the deals are done. By the time free agency begins, at 1 o'clock your time on Wednesday, almost all the deals will be done, especially for the top line free agents. And it's going to be exciting. It's going to be great for the players. Cap's gone up almost $26 million. Something, you know, it's obscene the amount of money that the Patriots have. $125 million. That's before the cap went up, and they'll roll over a lot for next year. But it's like they can pick and choose. You want two offensive linemen? Overpay them to protect Drake May. You want a couple of receivers for Drake May? Okay. You're going to pay a lot of money for it. I can't wait to see it because it's such an exciting time.
Is there a couple of players, a couple big-time players that you feel like maybe Sam Darnold's one of them that's going to go off the board and be signed really quickly?
I think Sam Darnold's agent's in the most envious position out there. You look at Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, and Kirk Cousins. I think Kirk Cousins will still be in Atlanta. That's what they could say, and they paid him all his money last year. It doesn't cost him a lot of money to be a backup, even though he might not like it. But I think quarterbacks, the one I'm most curious about is not Sam Darnold, is Aaron Rodgers, just because he's a lightning rod for controversy. There's people predicting he'd go to the Giants. Why do we want to go to the Giants? They're terrible. Their offensive line's terrible. Their running game is mediocre. He could get killed. And that makes no sense. There was a report today by Albert Breer. He's going to take $10 million to play for the Rams if indeed Matthew Stafford was traded. And would he play for $10 million? Would he come to the Raiders and play for $10 million? You don't know. He's made over, I think, $300 million, and he's not married. So watching the quarterbacks is going to be the thing that is the most interesting. The quarterbacks and these older receivers, like Cooper Kupp's going to be cut, Tyler Lockett, Stephon Diggs, you know, Devontae Adams. And there you have to be buyer beware when you take the receivers 31 or 32 years old and they've been injured.
Yeah, that's real. That's real. As you said at the top, man, these guys, teams are letting them go for a reason. You know, you're like you said, buyers beware. I think that's the best way to summarize it. Well, John, we'll close out with this. We'll talk about the running back position. It's very deep. We know Genty. You watched a lot of him play at Boise State. He's the number one running back. But with that being said, in a very deep running back draft, how do you think that affects his stock? Will he drop a little bit because there's so many different running backs to choose from?
I think he's so special, people have been comparing him to Barry Sanders. And I'm not saying he'll be Barry Sanders, but a lot of people are comparing him. If you are interested in a running back who can help your quarterback, take pressure off him, keep your defense fresh, you go for Ashton Jenny. If you say, okay, we'll get one later, take another position, that's fine. I just don't want to see him go to the Cowboys. because I hate it when the Cowboys are good. Not that they would be, but that would give them a better chance to be good. Of course, there's a chance the Raiders could take him. And then the Raiders could say, well, that's why we made our move with Josh Jacobs. We knew we had a chance to get a good one the next year. Cowboys could say the same thing. Well, that's why we didn't go after Derrick Henry. We got a guy now that's like 30 years younger. And so I just hope he goes anywhere but Dallas.
So, with that being said, I do have to ask you, because the Eagles invested heavily in Saquon Barkley. What did you make of the new extension that they put on top of the contract that they already gave him on yesterday?
Sent a great message to all their players. You perform, you get paid. And he performed, and he's gotten paid. Mm-hmm. And the Eagles have become a great organization led by Howie Roseman and his staff. They just don't – when they do make a mistake, like signing Bryce Huff, a pass rusher, double-digit pass rusher in 2023 for the Jets, he bombed out so bad he wasn't even active for the Super Bowl. But you're going to – everybody's going to make mistakes, but they keep – you know, their philosophy is build the offensive and defensive lines. I'm interested now to see how many other teams take that same philosophy.
Exactly. I know a lot of folks are talking about the way they beat up on the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. Everyone's like, got to go do that. Do exactly what they did. That's how you win it all. Well, John, fantastic stuff as always. What are you working on that we should be on the lookout for?
Q, I'm not working on a damn thing other than all my talk shows and my documentary on high school football in Texas before integration. Thank you very much as always, and I look forward to talking to you next week when we'll be right in the middle of the free agent frenzy.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, John. Great stuff. Appreciate you. There he goes, the great John McClain with us here on Raider Nation Radio 920. He said, I ain't working on a damn thing. I like it. I, not trying to make a Shedeur Sanders show, right? I'm not going to do that. Obviously, we have so much stuff to talk about. But I am going to ask people that are a lot smarter than me, right? We heard what Vic Tafer in the first hour had to say about Shedeur, and you heard what John McClain said. I agree wholeheartedly, and I think I said it when the reports came out. Just put your name on it. That's all. I mean, you know, hey, look. He sat down with me. I'm the quarterback coach for the Raiders, and I'm just throwing the Raiders out there because we're here in Vegas and we're talking about the Raiders. And I didn't like his attitude. He came off like a glorified a-hole. I didn't like him, right? I didn't like it. Didn't like how he approached it. It rubbed us the wrong way. There would be nothing wrong with that.
Stand on business, as the kids say.
Yeah, right, exactly. But when you sit there and you do it anonymously, and all of a sudden it's like it's almost gospel. And again, I agree to what John said about don't believe anything. You know, I'm not too high on anything that came out of the combine, and I was there. Only thing I'm high on out of the combine is what I actually saw and witnessed myself, what I heard, my interactions, because that's the only person I could ever speak for, right? I stood in front of Jalen Milroe while he was speaking. I came away very impressed. You can't tell me I didn't, right? I mean, that's one thing you can't deny. Q was impressed with what Jalen Milroe had to say. How do you know? Because Q told me, and he was standing there the whole time. Vinny came away very impressed with Shedeur. You know how I know? Because he told us, right? And he stood there for 2 hours before he got there, right? I mean, just like last year, I said I didn't like the interaction that Bo Nix had with Vinny. Remember I said that last year?
Yeah.
I said that didn't make him a bad person, but I just didn't like the interaction. It kind of rubbed me the wrong way. But I said it coming from a point of view of my own self. I didn't say, well, reports out of the combine are, you know, Bo Nix was kind of arrogant to a media reporter that was asking. I didn't say that.
That's why we didn't draft him.
Right. I said I didn't like the interaction. Not that it makes him a bad guy. Not that it makes him a bad quarterback. I just thought it was kind of it was a little bit extra effort to not answer a question as opposed to answering. But that was me nitpicking. And I also came to the table and said, oh, by the way, this is me nitpicking. Right. I mean, none of that is, you know, I'm not trying to, paint no bad brush on anyone. But I can speak on only my experiences or people that I talked to or people that, you know, gave me different references or whatever. And I can't say, well, you know, I heard from this one guy that this guy was bad. No, I'm not going to do that. I can speak on what I know. So I agree with what John said, that the guy should, whoever it was that had that bad feeling about Shedeur, that's fine. You're entitled to have your feeling. Just put your name on it. Just put your name on it. It really is that simple, but they didn't do that. And there's plenty of people that have come. I mean, if I want to do a whole show, I literally could do a whole show on all the people that have come out since then and said how that was so wrong, right? And it's funny. Jose hit us up, and I really agree with what Jose just said. Feels like the C.J. Stroud situation. Remember when C.J. Stroud was, he can't throw the ball. Oh, his S1 scores aren't very good. His this, that, the other. And I remember talking to him in Kansas City the day before he got drafted. It was like, he said, it sounds like to me someone wants me to drop in the draft. I know who I am. I know I'm a football player. I know I'm a really good quarterback. I know what I'm going to do. And he went out there and was the best quarterback in the draft, right? Not the number one overall pick, but the number two overall pick. But there's so many guys that have come out since that report has dropped on Bleacher Report from an anonymous coach about Shedeur Sanders that have said the exact opposite. Good friend of the show, Jordan Schultz, he on Mad Max Crosby's podcast said, I didn't see any of that. I didn't hear any of that. He was there at the combine. He didn't hear any of that, right? Eric Galco, very well respected. I'm going to try to get him on the show sometime this week. He had a tweet that was so stinking long about his interactions with Shedeur. I mean, really, because he was at the Shrine Bowl. Remember, he didn't go to the Senior Bowl. Him in Colorado, they went to the Shrine Bowl. And his tweet was so long. Like, I pulled it to the side. I pulled the sound, or not the sound from it, but I just pulled the words from it. Because I was like, oh, I'm going to reference it at some point. I don't know when. But, man, it's so stinking long. I can't even. It's wild. I'm going to find it right now. Hold on. We're going to do this in real time. Sorry, Ari. Ari's like, I'm just trying to give something away. And Q's up here.
No, you need that TDLR, I believe, is the. It's too long to. Or TLDR. Too long. Don't read.
Yeah.
But it was.
I mean, look, I won't. Yeah, it's very long. But, look, I'll just give you, like, the first two lines or first two paragraphs. During and after the combine, I've seen a lot of this discussion around Shedeur Sanders and his character, makeup, and attitude. This is from Eric Galco. I think we all respect Eric Galco, right? He's the leader of the Shrine Bowl. He's been around the league for a very long time. Very well-respected dude. It's not like this is a Q Myers tweet.
Has no fight in the dog in the fight.
Exactly. Thankful to have gotten to know him and work with him the last few months. I wanted to share my experiences with him. People are entitled to their opinions on Shedeur, but in my experience, he's a mature, wise and prepared quarterback and leader whose confidence and perspective may be unique to see and hear at first, but it's what makes him a special person and a future NFL quarterback. For one, I've seen Shedeur both at Colorado and during the Shrine Bowl in my interactions with him, hungry to learn how other great players become successful. He asks truly great questions about the NFL, past and current NFL QBs, and the business of football, both to me and the NFL experienced players, executives, from what I've specifically seen. He has great intuition on what matters, how to think about the game, and of course, the unique benefit of knowing life in the NFL thanks to his father and many mentors in his life to prepare, stay organized, and be mentally equipped for the NFL. He goes on about four more paragraphs. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but that's just to my point. That he has his name on it. It's on his Twitter account. It's not like I'm reading this, oh, anonymous scout says this about it. You know what I mean? Like, it's not damage control. It's him giving his interaction. So it's just wild to me, but that's what happens this year, and it's not just a Shedeur only thing. It happens with a lot of people, right? And we hear it. We hear every single year this quarterback, you know, the scouts don't believe he's NFL ready. This scout believes that this guy can't do this, that, and the third. Like, there's so many different reports that will come out. Oh, this guy has prior injuries, right? I mean, I heard things about Jalen Carter. When I was at the owners' meetings in Phoenix, remember the big controversy was, what kind of kid is this? You know, after the incident that happened off the field, obviously he would have been probably the number one pick out in the draft if he didn't have that off the field situation where someone tragically lost their life. And rest in peace to that person. And obviously we hate that. But that situation was something. I could tell you, I heard from at least four different people at the scouting combine, or not scouting combine, the owners' meetings in Phoenix that year that, oh, he's got a lot of baggage in his background. And this was from different people that cover these different teams that were all in position to draft him. And the reason why they were going to pass, oh, he's got a lot of baggage. That was the excuse. Oh, he's got other baggage that you don't know about. That's why you got to pass on him. No, it was a dangerous call, right? It was one of those that you had to be very smart. You had to do your due diligence. And if it made sense for you, it made sense for you. If it didn't, it didn't. It made sense for the Eagles. For the Raiders, it didn't make sense. Right? I know that they liked the player. The timing of it didn't make sense. But we hear it every year. We'll hear about somebody. And the closer and closer it gets to the draft, we'll hear somebody throw some dirt on someone's name. And normally it comes out anonymously. It's just kind of how it is. So don't worry. Shador might be the first, but there'll be somebody else, right? It might be a wide receiver. It might be a running back. It might be anybody. Who knows? Ashton Gentee, from all I know, and I've had interactions with him, had him on my radio show, he's a fantastic player, fantastic young man, probably a better young man than he is player. Something will come out about him, right? Oh, well, Ashton Gentee has this. No, he doesn't. He's a fantastic guy, right? The family, his military family, right? I mean, the dude is very well disciplined. He's a guy that decided to stay at Boise State, even though he had options to transfer, like many do, right? Could have taken a big NIL deal somewhere else. He stayed at Boise State. Right? I mean, there's so many things to like about that young man. But would it be shocked? Would I be shocked at all to hear something at some point come out about Ashton Gentee that wasn't great? No, because that's what happens this time of year. Doesn't mean it's true. Just means it'll come out, and it won't be great, because that's what always happens. Jerry said, Q, I love the John McClain fire mic drop. Yeah. No, I did too. John, and John is fantastic. He's great when it comes to just speaking his mind, right? And he's been around the league long enough, so he knows these things. Mark hit us up. Mark in New Jersey said, real happy for Max. He deserved to be paid. Has done nothing but give this all, his all, every day. Great move by Spytek. Let's see what else he could do to bring in better players and draft well to turn this team into a winner. Also, we got this one from, this is from Eric. Chip and Pete have a history of developing quarterbacks throughout their careers, and Gabriel is a developmental player. Okay, cool, that'll work. And then he also said it makes sense since that was the original formula for his success in Seattle. So a little bit side note there from Eric talking about the quarterbacks as well. Really good stuff. Definitely appreciate that. You got that TJ Houshmandzadeh sound? You want to go ahead and drop that real quick before we get to Paloma? We got time or no? No? I mean, you got a mic, man. Don't shake me off, man. This isn't baseball. You're not a catcher. Hey, don't shake off the pitch.
No, Q.
Okay.
There is no time.
All right. Hey, no problem. Hey, man, again, you have a mic. Ari's sure. Up here looking at me
I'm just
like
trying to be slick.
No, you don't have to be slick. You got a mic.
Let
this
my
is what
actions
we do.
Speak for me.
No. Just hey, no, we ain't got time, Jack.
No, sir.
All right,
but
no problem.
I would like to hear it later. For
okay,
sure.
We'll do, we'll play it after we talk to Paloma Villacana. Ooh. She'll join us next. How about that? Spare Nation Radio 920.
Hill with the rebound up to Henley and alley oop for Cherry. Oh, what a jam! From Henley. Time out on the floor. 46-42, the Rebel lead. From the top, a pump fake, his three-pointer. Yes, sir!
Why not do?
70-63. No Rebel has made more three-pointers in a game this year than Julian Richwain tonight. That's number six. He's got 26.
It's Paloma Villacana from Fox 5 on Unnecessary Roughness.
It's been a minute since we talked some UNLV action. Richwain, 26 points. UNLV beat San Diego State 74-67. They're currently riding a three-game winning streak. And, well, they got one more of these bad boys coming up against New Mexico, the number one team in the Mountain West, before the regular season gets wrapped up. But Paloma Villacana from Fox 5 Sports joins us now. And, Paloma, thanks so much. Appreciate you. It's been a minute since we talked to you. But so far, so good for UNLV riding a three-game winning streak. How important was it for them to get that victory against San Diego State and finish this bad boy off strong against New Mexico?
Yeah, all I can say is that this team is resilient. DJ Thomas goes down, their starting point guard, the anchor of the team, one of their best players. And instead of this team falling apart without their starting point guard, I think this team has only gotten better. Statistically and energy-wise, they're all kind of feeding off of each other. But last night was senior night. There's two sixth-year seniors on this team. They want to win the Mountain West Championship is what they've told me all season long. Last year, the Renton Rebels were able to make a run for it in the NIT tournament. So, this is Vegas. And in Vegas, we expect to win. And you have the Lady Rebels, their dominance. You have UNLV football, their dominance. You're in a winning town. So, it's exciting to see. It's exciting to see the Renton Rebels after last night's win. It was a late one last night against San Diego State. And Kevin Kruger, his guys were hooping. I mean, Bear Cherry, Julian Richwain, the entire team was just on it. So, like I mentioned, this team could have splintered and gone downhill without DJ Thomas. And instead, they've done the exact opposite. They've only gotten stronger, playing together, playing for each other. And the Mountain West tournament is, you know, right around the corner next week. Mm-hmm. So they got a big one in the pit on Friday night in New Mexico. So just seeing this team play their best basketball when they need to, they need to roll in the into the tournament with momentum. So huge night for Julian Rishwain, huge night for Bear Cherry, Jalen Bedford, Jalen Hill, all the guys. Just a big win over San Diego State, first regular sweep over the Aztecs since 2012. So wow. This team isn't backing down. This team isn't putting their head down. This team isn't, you know, poor me, poor us. You know, this team is only fighting harder every night. So that's exciting to see. That's what you want to see when adversity hits your team.
Where do you feel like this team is right now as they're getting ready? I mean, they obviously got one more game. It's a big one against New Mexico, so they can't overlook that. But just preparing for the tournament coming up next week, where do you think they are right now?
Yeah, I think they've you know, really stuck out of, like, or, you know, really toned in on what they've been, you know, really suffering with, you know, free throws and rebounding and really playing strong on defense. They did go through a losing streak. You know, I think it was like a 5-game losing streak in the middle of the season where, gosh, you know, they really just need to execute on defense, grab each rebound, make each free throw, because that wins the games. And against San Diego State, you know, we saw them just play so well on both ends and executing from the free throw line. And I think they grabbed a season high 48 rebounds against UNR. So they're rebounding, their free throws, just playing gritty on defense. I haven't mentioned Jaden Henley. That kid has just been so good. Mountain West Player of the Week. He can make a play anywhere on defense and on offense, pulling up from deep, scoring in the paint. Jaden Henley has become a weapon for UNLV. So it's recognizing, you know, what was happening during that losing streak, figuring those problems out, staying at practice, putting in that extra work. Like I mentioned, the six-year seniors, there's older guys on this team that have played a lot of basketball. So, you know, they're not going down without a fight. And getting to New Mexico, they're about to face one of the best point guards in the country, Donovan Dent. And the pit is always so electric, so fun to play in. So New Mexico is a very good team, very good team. But it was a close one against New Mexico at the Thomas and Mack. I believe UNLV lost 75-73. So really close one against the Lobos. But the way the Running Rebels are playing right now, just feeding off of each other, really playing together, playing strong on defense, rebounding, you know, making their free throws. Every single second is going to matter in the pit, and I've seen them win there, so it's really fun. You know, I like to say cherry on top, the Running Rebels
well done.
Roll into the tournament with a, I would say, 4-game win streak, so that's exactly what you want heading into the tournament.
Absolutely. You mentioned New Mexico, that loss at Thomas and Mack. Yeah, 75-73. That was the second game of that 5-game losing streak that you mentioned. But what stood out to me, Paloma, and again, Paloma Villacana from Fox 5 Sports is with us here on Raider Nation Radio 920. In that 5-game losing streak, all those games were close. So to me, it feels like that they're never really getting blown out. And when they buckle down defensively in particular, they really give themselves a chance. As they get ready for this tournament and they close things out with New Mexico, is the defense going to be the key for them?
Yeah, well, looking at their schedule, I mean, they've only lost one game in this past couple of, like, 6 or 7 games. So, you know, UNLV has been just right there all season long. But, I mean, a loss is a loss. You know, you take that on the chin, you get better, you improve in where you need to improve on. And, you know, it was the fight. You know, you got to finish the 40-minute fight. You got to finish each possession. You got to execute. You got to make your layups. You can't miss, you know, every detail in the Mountain West is so important. I mean, this league is really talented. Every single team has talent on the team, and you really can't sleep on anyone. You can't sleep on Wyoming. You can't sleep on Air Force, because they can get you. So, you know, it's been a close game across the Mountain West. We don't see too many blowouts in the Mountain West. This league is so good. So, yes, it's going to be a defensive fight against Donovan Dent and all his guys out there in New Mexico. We've already seen how talented they are. We know how good New Mexico is. But Brooklyn Hicks, one of the Running Rebels players, told me on the Red Zone, hey, you know, New Mexico was a 6 seed last year, and they came up to win it all in the Mountain West tournament. So anything can happen in March. It's up to who's playing their best ball. So, I love the fight that I'm seeing on defense from Jalen Hill, from Jaden Henley, from Bear Cherry, from Julian Richwein. The steals, it's been so fun to see the Runnin' Rebels scrapping because, man, I mean, you can't take a second off in the Mountain West. So it's been so fun to see this team come together at the end of the season, really, you know, through everything they've gone through. It's not just DJ Thomas who's been injured this year. Kevin Kruger started this season with almost his entire roster banged up. Mm-hmm. So as we got closer to Mountain West play, it was like, all right, now that these guys are healthy, now that they're in full swing of things, let's go. So no doubt this team has faced a lot of adversity with injuries this year. So, you know, it just shows that you got to be ready. You got to be ready when your number's called. And we've seen guys like Jaden Henley really step up this season. And it's been a lot of fun to watch lately.
It really has. And UNLV will close out the regular season. That's on Friday, 7 p.m. tip-off at New Mexico. That's the number one team in the Mountain West. So that's going to be a fun one. Of course, you can hear that game on our sister station, ESPN Las Vegas. On the women's side of things, Paloma, the Lady Rebels keep doing what the Lady Rebels do. How are you looking at Lindy LaRocque's crew this year? How are you feeling about them as they, we know, are preparing for the tournament?
Yeah, just like the Runnin' Rebels, the Lady Rebels are an older team, too. Their seniors have been so dominant. Their seniors have won 4 regular season Mountain West champions. So, I mean, it's been so exciting to see their dominance for 4 years. And you have this team that's been to the NCAA tournament 3 years in a row now. So you have that experience. But what the Lady Rebels told me is, you know, obviously they want to go on and win and keep winning in March. But if they make it to the NCAA tournament again, they've already faced Power Four talent this year with Arizona and Oklahoma and Baylor. And I believe they faced DePaul this year. So it's like they have that experience of facing bigger teams on a bigger stage. I think when it comes to the NCAA tournament, we can just see the size. I mean, once you get to the big dance, you can see just how much bigger teams are at Oklahoma and in the Big 12, in the Big 10. So already having that experience that they've already played those teams this year, that's huge for them. So the Runnin' Rebels, I think the Lady Rebels, they just got to play the Lady Rebel style. I mean, they're so dominant in the paint. They have so much young talent, too, which is so exciting to see for Lindy LaRocque in the future of this program. Not only does she have a strong senior class, but she's got some hoopers that are sophomores and freshmen, too. So no doubt they've had another dominant regular season. They're about to roll into the tournament as the number one seed on Monday. And talking to Lindy LaRocque, she is just, gosh, she's so inspirational. Like every time I talk to her, she's so intense. She's so fired up to win their 4th title. She's got a lot of fire in her, Lindy LaRocque. She's got a lot of fire, Las Vegas native. So, no doubt her career in Las Vegas has been so successful, so historical. So this team is hungrier than ever to go win their 4th title and then see who they face in the NCAA tournament. But talking to Lindy before the season, you know, she told me that they want to win. They want to win in the NCAA tournament and see how far they can go. So no doubt they have a veteran group, but like I mentioned, they have some sophomore guard, Amarachi Kimson, and Meadow Rowland, who's a redshirt freshman who's just been so dominant for UNLV. So older pieces and younger pieces that Vegas can be really excited to watch for in March.
I'm glad you brought up Lindy LaRocque and her being intense. I wanted to close out with asking about her because she's been successful with the Lady Rebels program ever since she's taken over. What is it about her that makes her go? Like, why is she so successful? Obviously, she has really good players, but she gets the most out of them. What is it that Coach LaRocque is doing?
She's a competitor. She is a competitor through and through. Obviously, her time at Stanford. If you knew Lindy as a local hooper here in Vegas, she comes from a basketball family. Obviously, coached under Tara Vanderveer. I believe she coached with Tara Vanderveer. So all she knows is winning. And obviously, here in Las Vegas with the Lady Rebels, 4 straight regular season titles, ready to win their 4th straight Mountain West tournament title. I mean, it's just exciting to see her focus, her passion, her intensity. She is all about winning with everything you do. And it's really inspirational because she's had two children as as a head coach. So as you look at, you know, just moms that are also coaches, it's so inspirational to see that, you know, she brings her baby to every game and, you know, she has a child and then she's on the court the next week. It's so inspirational. So, you know, we've got a lot of great women in the city, Becky Hammon, Asia Wilson, Lindy LaRocque, the list goes on. So it's just so cool for local women to see Lindy, see her success, see Asia Wilson, see her success, be like, hey, I mean, we're sharing the same streets. You know, this this is our community. We're a community with so many powerful and inspirational athletes. And, you know, look at the Raiders. Look at what Max Crosby was able to do today. So, you know, just young talent in this town, like Jackson Woodard, like Ricky White, you know, when they see Max Crosby sign a deal like that, it's like, gosh, you know, this is our community. Like, those dreams are real if you put the work in. So it's awesome. Vegas is awesome, too. You know I love it here.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I think we all love it here. It's been fantastic. It's been great to be a part of, you know, a small part of what's going on here in a community that's continuing to grow in the sports world. And you're all over it like a glove. And, of course, we are as well. I saw Jackson Woodard and Ricky White last week in Indianapolis at the scouting combine. So looking forward to seeing where their draft takes them and where they end up going to play professionally, whether it's here in Vegas or anywhere else. Really happy for those young guys that helped Barry Odom's team have a lot of success there on the gridiron. Well, fantastic stuff as always, Paloma. What are you working on that we should be on the lookout for?
Yeah, excited for spring ball to start up soon with Dan Mullen. You know, he's got a brand new squad out there from the coaching staff to the players. Really excited to see the quarterbacks that he's brought in. So, you know, it's so fun. You know, the basketball season is winding down. Now we're getting ready for March Madness and spring ball. I think this is the most anticipated spring ball at UNLV with so much momentum around the Rebels after what they've done with Barry Odom. So Dan Mullen is so much fun to be around. He's electric. His energy is larger than life. So really excited to see what UNLV football does this year. I know the Mountain West is always competitive, excited for their fall schedule too. So it's nonstop. It's nonstop in the town. And as the basketball season winds down, there's, of course, a lot of off-season stuff going on with the Raiders and the Aces. And, UNLV football. I'm excited for that, too. So every day there's something going on here, Q.
Absolutely. We would have it no other way. We definitely love leaning into all these different activities that are going on around the community. So, Paloma, fantastic stuff. We definitely appreciate you. Enjoy the season finale, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Q. Talk to you soon.
All right, appreciate you. Paloma Villacana right there, Fox 5 Sports. Really good stuff from her, covering all the things from the men's hoop team to the women's hoop team. And obviously, football is going to be coming back up. That's wild. Monitoring and seeing what Jackson Woodard and Ricky White are going to be doing, where their draft path will take them. Definitely looking forward to that. So many thanks to Paloma for giving us a few minutes of time. Do you want to stick here, or do you want me to take what you tell me? We got mics. What do you want to do? You give me a signal again. Are we not
Let's
baseball?
Take a break, please.
Okay, all right. We're not in baseball.
We'll come
You're
back
not the catcher that's giving me a signal, 3, 2, or 1. No, you just – we use – what do they say? Use your words, young man. Use your words. Ari used his words, and he said take a break. All right, we'll get to Raider Mike. We'll get to Stove next on Raider Nation Radio 920.
I don't think they need to rush getting the quarterback in there. And just like what they did last year with Bowers, just let the board fall to them and just take the best player available. So that's why I had Jeanty going there. But, you know, Gardner Minshew now being gone, they have a huge void at the quarterback spot, whether it's bringing in Justin Fields or Russell Wilson or somebody like that. I expect them to be heavy into the veteran market. But, you know, starting your offense with Jeanty and Brock Bowers, that gives you two dynamic and explosive weapons.
You're listening to Unnecessary Roughness with your boy Q on Raider Nation Radio, 920 AM.
ESPN's Jordan Reed, saw him many times last week at the scouting combine, tried to get caught up with them, but our times just were off. He's talking about the Raiders right there at number 6. He had a big conference call earlier today talking all things NFL draft. You'll get some of that sound here on this show. We call Unnecessary Roughness on Raider Nation Radio 920. You'll get some of that starting tomorrow. But that was what he had to say about the Raiders sitting there at number six. We only got a couple more minutes left in this hour. Then we've got Matthew Collar, PurpleInsider.com, talking all things Sam Darnold. Let's try to squeeze in a couple quick calls. Raider Mike, you're up first. Welcome to the show.
Q?
Mike?
I call you out for once.
Okay, call me.
5.9 on your son's three-pointer from my Portland State Vikings. That's a 9.4.
It wasn't.
Come on, man.
Well, it wasn't. One, it wasn't a game winner. It wasn't overtime. And he's talking about, for anyone who doesn't know, I do a segment on Joe and Q called The Q Score where I rate a highlight. And so we rated the highlight a little Q. And it was a three-pointer that he hit. One, I'm his dad, so I'm not trying to be biased and give him a 10. In my heart, he's a 12, right? But in my mind, based off what all my other scores I've done, I can't give him higher than I gave a game winner. And it wasn't a game winner. It was a really good play. So I gave him a 5.9. But, again, he's always going to be a 12 out of 10 in my mind.
That a boy. Anyway, dude, come on, man. That's a little cute.
Oh, I know.
At least a 7.2.
All right, fair enough.
All right, anyway, the other beef we have, you don't want Rodgers here.
Mm-mm.
Max does.
Yeah.
Max just signed that huge contract. And Max is the face of the Raiders.
True.
He is the ultimate Raider. I got like 15 Raider jerseys. I only wear Max. For good reason, because he's the only light I've had for decades. He's Max. He's tatted up. He's Raidered out. He's going to retire. If he don't retire Raider, I'm going to flip out. And he wants Aaron. You want a bridge to Shador? Double dip the chip, Q. Double dip the chip. Go get Aaron. He might have enough in him to get us to the playoffs, maybe even make it a little Plunkett run, you know?
Mm-hmm.
No one expected Plunkett and 80 to take us to a ring. No one expected that. That guy came off the trash heap. Rodgers, wow. That dude has so much talent. And if he can relax his stuff a little bit and you know, bring Devontae over. Devontae's already a Raider. He's always been a Raider. You get a number one and a quarterback bridge from heaven, as far as I'm concerned. I've talked to a lot of Raider Nation guys, Snake Man, et cetera. They're on board. Bring them in. Sweetheart deal. You're getting a ring here. You're not getting money, Aaron. You're getting a ring, Devontae. Not money. That's kind of where I'm at with that. Anyway, from App State, baby. Raiders! Peace.
There he goes. Raider Mike, thanks for the call. Definitely appreciate you. And look, I would like Aaron Rodgers more than I'd like Sam Darnold. I would like Aaron Rodgers more than I would like Gardner Minshew. I would like, you know what I mean? So I get it. And look, Max did endorse him. So, you know, maybe there's those conversations going on behind the scenes about bringing him in. You know very much that I'll support whoever the Raiders bring in. All I want is the best for him. If they see that Aaron Rodgers is the guy, they think that he'll be a mentor for whatever quarterback they bring in next, then so be it. Might not be my number one option, but again, Aaron Rodgers, I know, has nothing but talent, arm talent. He can get the job done as far as that's concerned. Thanks so much for the call. I do appreciate you. We'll kick into hour number three. Matthew Collar, PurpleInsider.com, joins us next. It's Raider Nation Radio 920.